It's great to be here again today, here sharing this time with you. Let us begin again with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day, that we could come before you, come to gather together in your name, to be about what you are about, to glorify you, to praise you, to worship you, to confess before you our struggles, our brokenness, our sin, our rebellion. To call out, to cry out to your name and say, Lord, we need your help. Maybe we need your help in understanding you more and understanding your word. Maybe we came here thinking we need help in our relationships, whether it be with our marriage or with family, friends. Maybe we're not sure what the next few weeks hold for us. Maybe there's questions about health and wellness. And Lord, there's so many things that we bring here now. But your word tells us that you listen to the brokenhearted. You are eager to help those who cry out to you. May we be encouraged by that, and may we now let them all go in your hands. May we breathe in again afresh your breath. Be filled by your Spirit to overflowing, that we would walk in your grace and be the people you called us to be. We thank you for those who are serving today, whether it be as greeters or ushers or in our children's environment. We thank you for all those who have prepared their hearts, and we ask, Lord, that you would continue that preparation, that you would sow your seeds into our hearts, that we may be fertile soil, that we would be open and receptive. We give you thanks and we give you praise. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Coming down our home stretch in Ephesians, if you've been with us for a few weeks, we've been going through this church that in Ephesus, over in the southern part of Asia, that still has remnants there today from the Roman Empire some 2,000 years later, and they're still standing. We're talking, you know, ancient antiquity, and yet it's amazing. It's hard to even see that perspective with where people are at and stuff compared to what it is. But 20,000 people. This was not a small town. This was a major place of business, a major place where they would bring troops through on their way to other parts of the Roman Empire or to carry on the peace of Rome. Roads this solid where I live. It's just they seem to have to repair them at least every other year, but 2,000 years and it's still in pretty good shape. Mentioned to you again this place that was gathered, that this was not just, again, just a little blip. This would have been like a New York, a Washington, D.C., a Tokyo. This would have been something that would have just, you would have been, whoa. This picture of the library, they believe held over 12,000 scrolls that would have contained everything of obviously Greek tradition and philosophy and ethics. It was so much bigger. They were in a place of power, and here Paul is trying to help them understand really what power looks like, the power that God brings, the power that God gives, and how many times, and it seems this way in my reading and understanding of the text, that when you read the text, it's almost like they're not relying on God. They've been trying to just get through it on their own. They've been trying to pray. They've been trying to give. They've been trying to serve. But they thought, okay, this is what it's all about. It's just being good. It's just being kind. And don't get me wrong, it's absolutely part of that. That's essential, okay? We can't live out our faith without those three things especially. But the power that he keeps talking about, he keeps referring to, and this power that God gives, but there's something about this power, how we can actually start to use it. I thought of it today, or actually last night I was driving. Some of you know my lovely wife, her grandfather passed away this week, and so it wasn't a tragedy. Not all deaths are. He was 99. That's a good run. He was ready to be with the Lord for sure. But in that time period of reflecting and time and being with the family and stuff, sports comes on in that household all the time. If there was a basketball game, it was on. If there was college football, it was on. It was football, football, football. And I just thought about what would it look like if we came if every day, we weren't dressed for the sport. Say we went to a football game, not as a fan, but as a player. But we didn't have a helmet. We didn't have pads. We didn't have cleats. We were just, okay, I'm ready. We wouldn't really get that far. It would be probably very ineffective at the very least, let alone probably hurt by the time of the end of the game. Think about, again, any sport, hockey, baseball. There was a time when baseball players didn't have helmets on. What? Crazy, right? We go, why would they have done that? Of course, someone got hit. And they said, you know what? That's not good. Let's give them a helmet. Catchers wearing masks. What a crazy idea. Umpire, I mean, all these things, we've seen it forever, we just assume. Sometimes we've approached Christian life and not realized that maybe we need some protection. Maybe God says, I provided for you what you need to live out this journey in this world I put you in, to be his hands and feet, his goodness to people by, and we're going to discuss this and how he paints this out, because he lays out this picture, this metaphor, that we need this armor because we need to resist. We need to stand up. It's interesting. He doesn't say go fight it. He doesn't say go take this country. He doesn't say go attack these people. None of that ever comes in. But we need the armor because there's so many things that come upon us. We need to understand. We need to stand in the power and the grace of God. How do you do it, though? And so he's really trying to unpack these things of power throughout the whole letter. And then, as you'll see today, how we end this, how he really addresses how we do it. We talked a lot about mercy and grace in this letter. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is getting what God's goodness to us, even though we've never done anything for it. There's this new song that's come out this last year called Reckless Love. If you haven't heard of it, just Google it, check it out, go to the iTunes Play Store or something. But Reckless Love is amazing. In fact, some longtime Christians really struggle with it because it talks about God's love being reckless. Well, how can that be? How can God be reckless? And then they use this phrase, he leaves the 99 for the one. Which is an allusion to a teaching that Jesus gave about being the good shepherd. Will leave his 99, not because he doesn't care about them, not because he doesn't love them, not because he hasn't provided for them. He's taken care of them. But now, he so cares so desperately for that lost sheep, he'll go anywhere to find it. How many of us have been that one? There's been many of us that have been part of the 99, and that's good too. But he loves us so desperately, and that grace he wants to give us is so much more than what we can imagine. In this letter, we learned about how we are rescued through faith, that the faith that God gives, the faith that we exercise and use is a gift, and that through that, trusting in him, faith is trusting in him, believing and hoping and showing honor to the one that you're trusting in. So being faithful to the one who's being so faithful to us. I don't want to confuse you, but again, I believe that the faith that God gives us is more based on God's faithfulness to us than our amazing ability to check all the right boxes off, believe all the right things, do all the right things, live perfect without error kind of thing. This letter talked about the new humanity that God has created, that this new humanity is about how the church is to be his hands and his feet, his body. This new humanity... I'm having a meeting this week with Amanda, my wonderful, amazing assistant. We're in her office because it's a good problem. We had so many bags for Christmas bags for Haiti that I didn't have a place to have a meeting in my office. It's a good thing. Those kids are gonna be blessed. And we have stuff for the Real Life Children's Ranch, and I'm like, this is great. I said, can we meet in your office? And she goes, sure, I'll make that work. And I'm like, thanks. So here we are meeting in her office, and she gets a phone call. And normally during our meetings we don't do any phone calls because trying to be focused and stuff. And I said, you know what? Just pick that up. It's okay. Go ahead. And so she picks it up. I'm making some notes. And wouldn't you know, it was one of our wonderful deacons who had heard that Leslie's grandfather had passed away and said, I'm in Miami. Is a service today or tomorrow? And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? That's so sweet of them. I'm like, it's not. It's Thursday. This was Tuesday. I'm like, oh, but thank you so much. That is the body of Christ, being the body of Christ. It's when we come together, we support each other, we pray for each other. When was the last time you asked someone to pray for you? Think about that. There's something about that. To humble yourself and say, would you pray for me? Would you lift this up? Now, it can be, hey, I'm going in for surgery soon. Would you mind? Sure, absolutely. It could be, my wife and I are having a tough time. It could be, I'm really concerned about my grandchildren. Would you pray for them with me? There's so many, we need to reach out and ask the body of Christ to be the body of Christ for us. We're not meant to do it on our own. Last week, I talked to you about this. Now, again, if you weren't here, you get a free pass. Eat the popcorn. Enjoy people kind of shifting their seats. Kind of like, no, I don't remember. Work as serving the Lord. That it's not about working because, well, it's just because we're supposed to, and that's what's just good people do. No, it's working to honor God. It's not because you have the best boss in the world. It's because you have the best boss in the world and outside this world. That we work for him. We work for his glory. And so, as we serve, it tells people, it shows people, it declares to people that there's something different that's going on in your world. You have a different type of ethic. Which brings us to how he closes this letter. Because he goes with the word finally, which I think is very interesting. It's kind of almost like his climax of where the letter has been leading this whole time, just kind of going. He's like, finally, now I'm going to get to you about what you really need to be paying attention to. Now, he's given some amazing things, the things I've already talked about, things about the church, how he's gifted it and blessed it and given each person as a gift. Each person is a gift to the church and to this world. But now he's talking about this finally. Now, you might be finally, finally, we're done with Ephesians. I'm sorry if that's been that way for you. I do. But he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Now, this is a command. This is one of those, the way it was written in the Greek, that it was, this is what you shall do. You do this. If you go to tell your family, you know, go pick up your clothes off the floor. Maybe that's just me having little kids or having an 8-year-old especially. You know, go pick up your clothes. That's not me having a discussion. That's not me giving her a suggestion. No, that's me. Go pick. No, go pick. No, put it down. Go pick. Okay, we're waiting here. You know, and it's one of the, it's, he's being crystal clear. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Again, he's going to tell him how to be. Don't get too stuck there, but finally, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. He says this, put on the full armor of God. Is this armor coming out here? Like, what's this about? So that, remember those words in English are really important, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, the trickery the devil has, the devil uses. Now, some of you might go in, okay, listen, I'm not sure about this whole devil thing. I hear you. A great book that I would encourage anyone to read, and you can get it still in print, written by a gentleman named Clive Staples. Got to love that first and middle name. Lewis, C.S. Lewis, wrote this book called Screwtape Letters. And in there, he has this kind of letters back and forth, this correspondence between this head demon and this kind of lower level demon, and how they're working to really thwart the work that God's doing in people's lives. And it's one of those things you're just not expecting to read. One, it was just so different when it came out. And you're just, you know, just like, wait, huh, what? And as you read it, he has this one statement. He says, it's amazing how you come usually on one or two sides. And it doesn't mean there's no middle part, but you tend to lean on one side or the other. Either you believe there is no devil, there is nothing, and no evil one, and you don't have to worry about anything like that. It's just me and the world. God's going to give me the strength. Everyone's kumbaya. Okay, that's that. And on the other side, it's everything is the devil. And he says, either place, they're done. He tells this young demon, he's like, you don't have to worry about them. They're going to sabotage themselves. They're not even going to realize the things we do in their lives. And as I was preparing this week for this message, I thought about it. I was with another pastor, and I was asking him about this passage, and he says, every time I have ever taught on either this passage or even spoke about, it's called spiritual warfare. It seems to be computer crashes. It seems to be there's something that happened with the electric pole down the road that day. I was working on stuff on my computer. It seems that there's just these very interesting coincidences, these mishaps that happen, and you just go, that's just weird. I don't believe everything is Satan. I don't believe everything is the evil one. A lot of it is our responsibility. A lot of it is maybe our struggles and our inadequacy and stuff. But sometimes you just go, this is beyond me. This is, again, the computer's on, we're working, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden just goes, boop, freeze, nothing. Go, what? That's weird. Go through the whole thing. Have you ever tried to, you had an important day you were looking forward to, and just everything was so important. Set the alarm, lay out the clothes. You get up the next morning, the clothes are on the ground. You're like, what the heck happened here? They're all wrinkled. Oh my gosh. I mean, things like that is just, you just go, what's going on here? I do believe that one of the greatest tricks, I think I've heard it said before, the greatest tricks is convincing people that Satan doesn't exist or that he's everything. And I'm like, that's so true. We sometimes don't understand that there isn't a battle that we're a part of. It's not, don't get me wrong, it's not just about praying. It's not just about being kind. It's just not about helping others. Those are essential. But we're also in this battle, and that God says, listen, you're in the battle. I've already won the war, but you're in this battle, and I want to help you be able to stand. When you're in temptation, sometimes money, sex, power, those are the main three gods. There's more, but those are the big ones back in Jesus' day, Paul's day. Guess what? They're still a part of our day. Those might be a temptation and challenge for you. Maybe, again, just those mishaps that you're just like, that's just really weird. You try to get together with a friend, and they need you. They're going through a difficult time, and hurricane happens, a death in the family. They, boom, 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 make you know. You're like, man, I haven't talked to him in like 2 weeks. What's going on? You pray for the strength. Pray for wisdom. Pray for discernment. It's like, Lord, is this something that I just need to resist, as we'll see here in a second? It's so important we understand that there's so much more going on than what we see. He goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, some translations have even though the days are evil, that they're just, we're in a battle. This is not, we're not in the promised land, right? This is not, everything is good. Just turn on the news for 30 seconds. You may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Just continue to stand. Doesn't tell you about being offensive. Doesn't tell you about, having to be perfect. No, just stand and rely on God's strength. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. He's going to give six parts of this armor, which is interesting that these we still find them, and we found them, archaeologists, in various digs of like coffins and things where they have each of these six as part of the Roman garb that they would have been using at that time. And so he's using something they would have seen of in Ephesus, the troops marching by and stuff. So he's trying to help them understand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. This belt of truth, guess what? It's about the truth that we have in Jesus, the truth that if Christianity is true, it's of infinite importance. If it is false, it's of no importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. The one thing we have to rely on is that God is good, and we can rely on that truth. And now let's live that out. When you feel that your circumstances aren't expressing it the way you want them to, when God is just not doing what you want him to do, maybe there's just bigger things going on. Maybe our response is to just stand firm. He goes on, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, this place that protects the heart, that protects the main part of your body. How can we protect ourselves from things that are going to come against us? That we're not just showing up to the football game with no pads. We're prepared and fitted with your feet, fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Fitted, with the readiness that these sandals, he's alluding to these shoes, that we need to be ready. Shoes can leave an impression, can't they? They were made for walking. they're ready to help you maybe have more of a balance. He wants you to help understand, what this is. And gospel, by the way, is actually an old English word that's trying to explain this concept in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It talks about this good news, the good news of God, of what he's done in Jesus for us and for the whole world. And this peace isn't an absence of strife. Let me be clear on here. This gospel peace isn't that there's no conflict. Don't get me wrong. He doesn't necessarily want conflict, but he's not saying that it's absence of conflict. He's like, listen, you're in a conflict, but let the good news of God be the strength you can hold on to, that it can hold on to you, that it can help stand you up so you can be the person God's called you to be. Stand firm. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's another way of saying Satan, the devil, evil one. By the way, there's no actually like that we have in Scripture of a proper name for the evil one. It's just sometimes, again, he's shorthand, Satan, devil. But it's just this the one who causes all this trial, all this challenge, all this trouble. Interesting fun fact about the shields back in that time period, they would coat them with a certain type of a covering that they would soak in water so that when they were attacked with fire arrows, it wouldn't light up. How are we, again, prepared? How are we ready for the various things that just feel like it's an attack on us? Sometimes it can be a word from a loved one. They didn't intend for it to be a fiery dart. They're just make an observation or just sharing a thought. But you just, oh man, like what was that for? Trust in the Lord. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me stand firm. Lord, help me to not let me get burned up from that, burned up in that. Two more things is take the helmet of salvation. Now think about this, you know, he's given this metaphor, right? This belt, this breastplate, this shield. We got the sandals of peace, and now we got this helmet of salvation, that this salvation is in God, by God, for God. That it's not about us having it all together again. It's about us trusting that God is faithful enough to get us to run the race. That he'll help us in that journey. So in that faithfulness, help us to trust in that. Help us to use our heads. I didn't think that's a mistake that he chose that for the helmet. That we need to know what we believe. Now, throughout this letter, he talked about growing up. And I'm going to get to that, but it's so important we understand. It's so much bigger than that. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the only weapon. It can be used, obviously, defensively as well, but it's the only offensive one. Everything else has been defense, 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 defense. And it's about standing firm. And I don't necessarily think he's talking about New Testament here. Don't get me wrong. That's part of the Word of God. But he's talking about all the things that he's talking about in the letter, especially from Isaiah, that he's quoted about justice and being righteous, being vindicated by God. About how what we believe is true and we need to own it. And then he starts to, again, unpack all of these pieces of armor to describe all those allusions he's given throughout the letter from Isaiah. Very interesting. Sometimes we miss that how much the Old Testament plays a part in who we are as followers of the Lord. And this, I think, is most essential. This is how we are able to stand firm and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. All kinds of prayers. Isn't prayer just the same thing as prayer? It's prayer. Apparently not. Sometimes there's, I call them like little breath prayers. Just a, Lord help. I'm telling you, I don't know if there's a more spiritual prayer, but it's just that, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Give me wisdom. When you don't have a clue about what to pray for, God, your will be done. Because we know you're good, and we can trust you and you're faithful, we pray your will be done. How can we, again, be focused more on praying for us, praying for others? And again, I alluded to, as I referenced earlier, when was the last time you prayed, you asked someone to pray for you? Humble yourself. Don't be afraid to ask someone to pray for you. God is good, and he's maybe he wants to grow them up in helping them learn how to talk with him. Because prayer is learning to talk with God and listen to God. It's a conversation. Sometimes he'll just give you a piece. Sometimes he'll give you a word. Sometimes you'll be reading a part in the Bible, and as you read it, you're just like, Lord, I was praying about this. Oh my goodness. And you start making connections. There's a golfer, I think he said, you know, someone said, man, you're just so lucky. And he says, it seems to be the more I practice, the luckier I am. And I remember hearing that, I was like, huh, that's pretty good. It seems to me when it comes to prayer, the more I pray, the more coincidences happen. The less I pray, the less those coincidences happen. It's just what I found. Maybe we can be people of prayer. Maybe we can share our hearts. And I'm not saying you, when you work, when you are with family, when you're with friends, that's not a time you're away from the Lord. God's always with you. He's already there. It's about us becoming more aware, maybe cleaning our glasses off and saying, whoa, Lord, you've already, yeah, check that out. It's amazing how when we humble ourselves and really start to pay attention, we can discover so much more. Again, this belt of truth, understand, is so much bigger than just a metaphor. It's so much bigger than just a picture that he put in the scripture. And this breastplate of righteousness, it's again this vindication that God has won the battle, that we are secure in him. The sandals of peace. Again, do you get this picture, right? This image of this person is ready for battle, ready to resist. The shield of faith. How often we don't really consider faith, how important it is to our walk. Faith is, again, trusting in God. Maybe someone told you, maybe their example of faith wasn't something you ever really got. I know one gentleman who, he could quote scripture left and right, but he was one of the most worrisome people I've ever met in my life. Just always fearful to the point where, to my understanding, he's never been robbed, but it was an extreme situation in his household. And I was just like, mutual friend said, you know, he talks about this Jesus. This guy, at this time, is definitely not a Christian. He said, listen, I hear about this Jesus. He talks about this faith, and I don't know what he's talking about because what I see doesn't seem to be matching up. When he said that, I'm like, listen, you understand that Christianity is a journey, it's a process, and we're all growing, and we all are in this process in different places. But understand, this it's a weakness of his, absolutely. It's something that God needs to help him grow up. But don't think that defines Christianity. We have examples that I've just been reading about, people that have not been standing in God's power, and yet, we think that if people don't stand in God's power today, oh, it must not be true. Maybe it's not. Maybe they haven't learned that lesson yet. We all need to get better at standing firm. So I got three things to challenge you with. One, we all need to grow up. Big picture for this letter. We all need to grow up in the Lord, in our faith, and our trust, and our hope in the Lord. No matter what you're facing, can you answer this with an affirmative yes? I mean, just an absolute no holds barred yes. God is enough. Struggles in marriage, is God enough? Struggles with family, is God enough? Struggles with work, is God enough? Finances, God. Put in your little blank there. Trust in the Lord. Stand firm. In the letter, he's talked about resisting a few times, the powers that are coming upon us that are not obviously good. He's resist it. Don't just go with it. Don't just, oh, it's too bad. It is what it is. And then lastly, pray always. I don't think your life will get any worse by praying. It's interesting. I love some of the research that I've seen over the years, but especially coming out of Duke University. They don't know why. They don't know how, but they believe prayer works. And all their tests they've done, their medical school, they're like, people get better quicker. We don't know why. They don't even have to believe in it. Placebo, they've done the whole thing. They're like, when people are prayed for, something happens. I just want to encourage you, please don't miss that. It's so important for us. Consider where you're at today with this whole idea of a spiritual warfare, this other one that's fighting against us. Would you go to a game as a player not ready to play? And yet we're called to stand and be the people God's called us to be, and we can't do it on our own. Can't do it in our own strength. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you. We humble ourselves before you. We ask that you would continue to have your way with us. Give us the wisdom we need. Help us to be able to discern, especially when there's times where we have these attacks going on, that our job isn't to try to figure it out or to win it. It's just to resist. It's just to stand firm. Give us the faith we need to trust in you. We pray for all those in the Bahamas right now. We pray that you'd continue to raise up the support that's needed to care and help them rebuild. We pray, Lord, that we as a church and the church universal would just stand in the gap for them. Thank you for the thousands and thousands of pounds of supplies that have already been donated and that have been brought there. But we pray again, keep raising it up. We pray for the ministries that you're doing in this community around this world. We pray for your church universal. May it continue to be a movement and never, ever look like a monument. Help us, Lord, to trust you. Help us to be the people you've called us to be here at All Villages and Palm City Presbyterian, the Grove, Any River. We pray, Lord, that we again would be your hands and feet. We lift up our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray that you would bring favor and wisdom. Especially, Lord, we pray for humility. May they walk with the burden, but carry it with you. Lord, be glorified in everything that we are and everything that we do. Help us to trust in you no matter what. We can do that, Lord, through a lot of prayer. And we pray, Lord, that in this time of prayer, we remember the words you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.